Wow, this morning I got up, I was telling them, I got up this morning and I was excited. I'm working on a big project at work, and this week, actually tomorrow, we're going to start moving some heavy equipment around, and we're going to start doing some things inside the shop, and I'm really excited about it. And all of a sudden, after I get done with my morning devotion, I leave my room to take my poor little puppy dog out potty, and there's a half inch of snow on my deck. And I mean, it was, you know, thank you, third winter. We're going to have a slight spring, and then we'll probably move into fourth winter sometime. I don't know. It's Indiana, right? So, but anyway, I'd like to start off with telling you a story for tonight's teaching. And it goes like this. There was a fishing boat that was coming back into the harbor. And as it was coming back into the harbor, the captain took out his looking glass. And he began to focus in on the pier as the ship was going in. And as he did, he began to call out to the different men. He's like, Tommy, I can see your wife. Yep, Mary's there, and she's got little Tommy. Oh, and look. Hey, Buck. I can see Ruth. She's on the pier too, and she's waiting there for you. And, oh, hey, Danny, I see Brenda too. I see her. And, oh boy, she's got her hands full with a couple boys. They're trying to push each other in the water. Boy, you got some trouble when you get home, son. And one by one, he began to call off all the sailors. And there was one sailor in the back that continued to listen. He never heard his name. He never heard his love's name. And so as the boat got to dock and everybody exited and there was excitement with all the reunions, except for this one, right? He grabbed his gear and he pushed by all the excited reunions. He briskly walked to his home in the community and he found his wife. She rushed over to see him and she threw her arms around him and said, "Oh, my love, I have been looking so forward to seeing you home again." And the sailor replied, "If you were truly looking for me, you would have been on the pier in anticipation looking for me." So can I say to you tonight, to each one of us here tonight, and those that might be watching live stream, can I say to you tonight that the return of Jesus Christ is a blessed certainty. I mean, without doubt, it is going to happen. It will happen. It is a blessed certainty. Just as this fishing boat came back to dock, Jesus Christ is coming back for his loved ones. His coming is imminent, which means it's always on the precipice. It's always on the edge. It's ever right there ready to happen. And it is closer today than it has ever been before. And if his coming is imminent and closer than ever before, let me ask you a question. How are you? How are you looking for the Lord? Tonight I want to tell you about four things that every Christian should be looking for. And those four things that we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to look for Jesus' descending. We're going to be listening for Jesus' shout. We're going to be listening for the voice of an archangel. And we're going to be listening for the trump of God. And I believe that if you will take time to look and to listen for these four things, you will not be taken by surprise when the Lord returns to take His bride, the Church of Jesus Christ, home. You don't want to be found like the sailor and his love. Knowing the time was near, knowing that the time was at hand, she missed out seeing when her loved came into the port. You don't want to be caught unaware. So tonight we're going to be talking about Jesus' return, His rapture of the church. So open up the Word of God with me and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. And here's where we're going to find the four things that every Christian should be looking for. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16, it says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." If you don't mind writing in your Bible, could I encourage you to do this one thing? Underline these four words or these four phrases. First, I would have you underline the word descend. Secondly, I would have you underline the phrases the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. You ready? Are you ready to dig into God's Word?
Sure.
All right, here we go. The first thing I want to talk to you tonight about is the descent. The descend. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "Ye men of Galilee, you stand gazing up into heaven. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as we have seen him go into heaven." Now, if you allow me a little room and a little room to move around here, I would like to read the same passage to you from the BTM version. You heard of the BTM version? That's the Brother Terry Matheny version. Just in case you were wondering. "You men of Galilee, why are you standing looking up into heaven? This same Jesus that ascended, that went up into heaven in front of you, shall in like manner now descend down from heaven." And here is the promise that you and I have today. That he that ascended into heaven, he that ascended on high, he shall descend from on high. And when I begin to think about this passage, when I begin to think about this verse, that he ascended up into heaven, I begin to think of the 14th chapter of St. John, and where it says he went to prepare a place for you and me. So when he ascended, he went to heaven to prepare a place for me, for you, for all of us that are in his family, that are in his bride, the body of Christ. He went to prepare a place just for you and I. And listen, his followers in that first day, they watched him go up. They watched him ascend. And so what should be going on today? His followers today should be looking with anticipation, with excitement, with a sense of urgency for what? His descending. You and I have to work. We have to go to school. We have to do this. We have to do that. And it's a busy life for us. I understand. Really, I do. But let us never, ever forget to be watching for the Lord to descend down from heaven. Let me remind us all that His returning, the Lord Jesus Christ, His return is imminent. It's always on the precipice. It's always on the verge of happening. It can happen at any moment. It's imminent. And it is a blessed assurance that you and I have. And it is closer now than it has ever been before. So the first thing that we must be looking for is Jesus Christ to descend out of heaven. Then we should be looking for His shout. So the second thing that we should be looking for is the shout. When we look at this word shout, I want you to understand it is not the word that we think about when it comes to worship. You know, when we come here on Sunday morning, some of us, we like to shout. We like to get exuberant about our praise. We like to lift up our voice and just go, "Hallelujah." I mean, it is good to shout. Amen. I like it. I like to do it. But When we look at Paul's writing here in 1 Thessalonians, that shout is a cry of incitement. It is a call to action. That's what Paul is saying. He says, I want to call you to action. This shout is a call to action. As a charioteer tells his horses, "Yah!" And the horses take off. Did I scare you? Yeah, I thought you jumped. As a commander to his soldiers, they yell, "Charge!" And as a master of a ship to the oarsman, they yell, "Heave!" It is a call to action. That's what this shout is all about. And I think that we have a picture of this type of shout in the Bible. In the Gospel of St. John, in the 11th chapter, we're going to see the rising of Lazarus from the dead. And it's a familiar story that we read about Lazarus and Jesus. And as we know how the story goes. Jesus is told that Lazarus is sick, but he does not get up and go right away, remember? He waits. He abides for a few more days with his disciples, and then he tells them that they must go to Judea. Why? Well, in verse 11, he says, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." That's important. Lazarus is asleep, but I go that I might wake him out of his sleep. That's what Jesus said there in the 11th verse of that 11th chapter. So Jesus goes to Bethany where he finds Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. And Mary runs out to Jesus, and we know what she says, right? "Lord, if you had only been here, if you would have only come when you were beckoned, my brother Lazarus, he would not have died." We know that. And so many times in our natural lives, you know, we begin to think about God, and God, man, I really need you right now. I don't need you to, I mean, I'm going to need you tomorrow, but I really need you right now to move in this situation. I really need you right now to move in my finances or in my health or, you know, whatever that circumstance. I need you right now. And it seems like the answer is delayed. But God, as we know, is always right on time. Always right on time. "Hey, Mary, Martha, your brother sleeps, and I've come to awaken him." And so Jesus begins to groan in his spirit, and he asks them, "Where have you laid him?" Jesus goes to where Lazarus is laid, and he commands that the stone be removed, and he speaks. And this is what we read in verse 43. "And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice." Can I say he shouted? He called to action. He said, "Lazarus, come forth." Amen. Jesus cried with that loud voice. He cried with a shout. There was a call to action in his voice. Jesus cried and he says, "Lazarus, you come forth." And we know from that passage here that Paul writes that the very first thing that's going to happen is the dead are going to be raised. I believe this with all my heart, that this is the shout that we're looking at. Notice how the scripture goes on to explain itself. First, we see that the Lord shall descend out of the clouds of glory. Secondly, we will hear, but more importantly, the dead will hear as they lay in their graves, whether they be in the ground, whether they be in the seas, whether they've been cremated, wherever they are, the dead in Christ will hear His voice. And I don't know if this is true, but I would like to think, and maybe you can think differently than me, then that's all right. But I believe, or I think that when Jesus shouts to the dead, it's going to be just like Lazarus. They're going to hear their name. And how many of us have known precious saints that have went to sleep in God? Amen. And I believe that someday, you know, some of my best friends, Brother Harold and Brother Sister, and Sister Joyce, they're going to hear, "Brother Harold, come forth, arise. Sister Joyce, arise out of that grave." And I believe that with all my might. They're going to not only hear that shout, but they're going to hear their name by their Maker, their Creator. So first he will descend, secondly he will shout, and now thirdly we will hear the voice of the archangel. The voice of the archangel will herald the news. He's going to herald the news to those that remain. Christ shouts to awake the dead, and now the archangel is going to announce, or he's going to pronounce or herald the news that Christ has come to get his bride. And just as John the Baptist did, he announced that the Lamb of God has come to take away the sins of the world. This archangel is going to announce to those that remain that the bridegroom cometh. Amen. God himself shouted to wake up the dead because he's the only one that can wake up the dead. The archangel is going to shout and say, "The bridegroom cometh. Go and make yourself ready." Amen. And in the Bible, we have that parable that illustrates this announcement. In the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, we find the parable of the 10 virgins. And as we know, there is 5 foolish and 5 wise, right? And they all of them, they all slumbered and they all slept. And then in verse 6, we see there's an announcement. Look at the verse in verse 6, Matthew chapter 25. "At midnight, there was a cry made. "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And so let's take a look at it. Jesus is descending and he cries and the graves start to shake and those that are dead, that are they're coming out of the ground. They're coming out of their graves. And then the voice of the archangel says, "Come ye forth, those that are alive and remain." And so now the dead are rising up in the air. Those that are alive and remain are arising. And behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out and meet him. This is the job of the archangel. He's calling those that are alive and remain. He is calling the bride. He's calling the church of Jesus Christ to come out and meet their blessed Savior, the bridegroom. So first he descends. Secondly, he shouts. Next, the archangel announces the bridegroom cometh. And finally, there is a blast. The trump of God. So there's significance in trumpets in the Bible. There really is. Trumpets are used for two specific purposes in the Bible. They were used to call the people together for an assembly, called together for a holy convocation. And they were called, or they were used to call people to journey. Let's look in the Old Testament. Travel back with me now to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 10, verse 2. Read what it says here. "Make thee two trumpets of silver. Of a whole piece shalt thou make them. That you may use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps." That's the importance of the trumpet. What? To call together the assembly and the journeying of the camp. The trumpet of God is used to call the assembly together, those that are dead and those that are alive. He'll call them together. The shout wakes the dead of Christ. The archangel calls forth the remaining church. And now the trump of God calls those true groups, those assemblies together for what? For one purpose, a journey. Look now back into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17. I'll go back to verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Verse 17. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." There's the assembly. "So shall we be, ever be with the Lord." Verse 18. I love this. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You know, I've often been accused of being a long-winded preacher, but tonight I'm gonna be very short. So in conclusion tonight, I've told you about the four things that every Christian should be looking for. We should be looking for God's descension. Jesus Christ will descend. The dead in Christ will hear that shout. They will come up out of those graves. We will... The church, the body that remains, will hear the voice of the archangel and we'll go out to meet our bridegroom. And we'll hear that trump of God calling that blessed assembly in the sky. And if you're ready for the coming of the Lord, as verse 18 said, it says, we're told to comfort one another with these words. And what are these words we are to comfort one another with? What are these words we are to comfort one another with? Whether we are alive or dead, one day, soon, and very soon, we are going to see the King. Amen. Amen. Comfort one another. Hey, look, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what problems that you got today, but there's none of them that's too big for my God. My God's bigger than any problem that you got, any problem that I got. And here, let me comfort you. One of these days, this world's going to pass away and you and I are out of here. Amen. And every problem, every trial, every bout of cancer that you fight, every disease that enters your body, every ailment that you fight, every financial difficulty that you have, gone. It's gone. Here, let me comfort you. One of these days, whether dead or alive, if you are in the body of Christ, you and I will see the King. We will see our blessed Savior. We will know Him face to face. Amen. And we will enjoy it. And we will forever be with Him. Amen. Let me comfort you with those words. I don't care what's happening in your life. I don't care what's happening in my life. One day we're out of here. And guess what? He wins. He wins. So, I know some people are watching. And I know most of you are already in that body, in that family of Christ. But I would ask you, do you really know who Jesus Christ is today? Do you really know? If you'd like to know, you can know right here and right now. Would you like to be excited about His coming, His soon and imminent return? I'm excited about it. I can tell you how today, the Word of God says that if you will repent, amen, if you will repent, and what is repentance? Repentance is having a change of mind. It's a change of direction. I was going this way, and it was no good. Now I've repented. I've turned away from the bad, and now I'm walking towards the good. Amen. It also has to do with deep sorrow. Lord, I know that over here I was living a life of disappointment and disobedience. But I want to turn and I want to walk towards You and live a life that's going to make You happy. I know I'm going to fail, Lord, but I believe that Your grace is enough to get me through. Amen. Next, the word's very clear. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission, for the taking away of sin. For, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I got baptized, I was the cleanest I ever was, and I felt amazing. I mean, I felt amazing. There was no weight on me. There was no burden. There was no dirt, and I felt amazing. I was clean for once before my God. It's an amazing thing. So if you've never been baptized, let me encourage you. Whatever trail you're on, if it's not taking you to God, turn and start walking towards God. And then get immersed, get baptized in His name, His wonderful name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, for the taking away of the filth of the flesh and the sins of your soul. Amen. And I promise you, okay, I can promise you, this is a promise, you will feel amazing. Amen. And finally, as Peter wrote out there in Acts 2:38, he says, finally, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the Comforter. We also call this the Paraclete. It's the one who comes up beside. He comes up beside you. He comes up alongside of you and helps you through this life. And what does the Bible tell you? Jesus said that the Comforter will what? Lead and guide you in all truth. Amen. Isn't that great? You don't have to rely on yourself anymore. You not only have the Word of God, but you have somebody, you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling inside of you that's coming alongside of you to help you live and guide you through every situation. You don't have to make decisions on your own anymore. You don't have to feel alone anymore. Because why? You have a Comforter. Because you have been cleansed, you are now the temple of God, and the Holy Ghost comes and leads and guides you into all truth. And what is truth? Pilate asked that question right before he relinquished Jesus to the Pharisees and to the Levitical priesthood, to the priests. He says, what is truth? Can I tell you today what truth is? Truth is a person. Truth is a person. And His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said there in John, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then in His prayer in John chapter 17, He said, sanctify them with Thy Word. Thy Word is truth. The Logos. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Sanctify them with Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. So if anybody asks you what truth is, and is there an absolute truth? Yes, there is. And that person is Jesus Christ. He is the truth. So now, more than ever, today more than yesterday, and if the Lord allows us tomorrow more than today, we need to be actively looking for the soon and imminent return of Jesus Christ. Again, let me go back. Four things that every Christian, every born-again believer, everybody that's in the body of Christ should be looking for. One, His descending, His shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. Amen. Let me ask you this. Are you looking? Are you looking? You should be. God bless.